Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here as always is my co-host,
Graham K. What's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy? How's New York treating you?
I'm pretty good. You know, it's not on fire like LA, so that's a plus.
I know, you got out just in time, man. There's an actual fire out here.
Yeah. I it's cold here though today, so I mean, you got to pick your battles.
That's true.
I have a feeling like most people in LA would rather choose being on fire than having the cold. They hate the cold down there.
They do ask a lot about the cold. They do ask a lot about the cold, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Things are good. Yeah, I think, I don't know, am I coming down with something? I don't know. I'm on the precipice. I'm going to have to go buy some oranges or some orange juice or something. But other than that,
I think I'm getting a little throat tickle.
Oh, God.
I felt it right there.
Yeah. Let me catch it. Oh, man, it's going through the
microphone,
the satellite, and I'm getting sick.
Perfect.
Things are pretty good. Pretty good gearing up for the old Christmas. Peter wrote his annual on November 1st every year. He writes me.
Christmas demand list.
Christmas demand list. Before we get into it, this is the Comedian's Guide to Autism. Neither of us are autistic or somebody who has autism, but we are both comedians who have autistic family members. My brother is autistic, and you have a severe adult son. Teenage son.
I have an adult young man. Son with severe autism. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So 19 now.
He's 19. He's a man.
He's a man. He's got a better sideburn game than I do. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's not hard.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of testosterone run through those veins. Yeah, at that age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. So anyway, so Peter, my brother, gave me his Christmas list, and I did Christmas shopping on eBay. It's all these, like, I'm sure our longtime listeners know, but I've heard it a bunch of times. This is probably our third Christmas coming up. Isn't that crazy on this podcast? So anyway, he more Star Wars figures from 20 years ago that they stopped making that someone's kept in a package. They're all the eBay like sites are like, don't worry, no one's touched this package in 20 years. It is in mint condition.
Why don't you buy ones that are already opened? And then, because he doesn't care, he's opening it anyway, right? Or am I missing something?
Because he likes the boxes.
Okay.
I mean, for some figurines I do.
Okay.
And if it's like a really expensive spaceship, I'm like, screw it, dude. Just, you're going to have to live with it. But if I can afford it and it's just an extra, you know, whatever, it adds so much more to it. He keeps the boxes. It's got pictures of it. It makes it seem more new and not
That's
used.
True. That's true. Makes sense.
And, you know, but.
You're saying you got his demand list. Yeah.
One of them I didn't realize till after I bought it. It's like from Japan. So I might not make it in time. But I got him three spaceships. I really went all out this year.
Wow. X-Fighters, or what'd you get? X-Wing, what's it called?
I got one small one, and that's the one that's coming from Japan, and it comes with a figurine, and it's his like, skiff, Luke Skywalker's something skiff, and, I mean, I could read these to you, they're basically not in English, but Star Wars Power of the Force Deluxe Luke Skywalker Desert Sport Skiff and figure. Doesn't that make a lot of sense?
I think that's the one where he's it's the little convertible, right?
It's not that one. It looks like it, but it's one where he's standing up.
Oh, right.
It's like a jet ski or something. And I also got him a Star Wars Power of the Force series T-16 Skyhopper. So, and it's in the original box. And that's like a... I don't know. I don't even remember that from the movie, but it's a spaceship. I don't even know. I don't know, man.
That's great,
but
man.
It's like it's pretty good because it's like, what does it say? Yeah, in its original packaging. Oh my God.
It's about to be torn to shreds.
Yeah. Yeah. Brand new Hasbro. Fantastic shape.
I love it.
Not for much longer, buddy. Not for much longer.
But I will say this. When Peter gets tired of them, if and when, if the people don't need the boxes, I'm sure he keeps them in immaculate shape as well.
Totally.
They just sit on the shelf.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, that's what's happening. So he, my brother, okay, this is good. He is in correspondence with one of my high school friends.
Oh, right.
Married.
You're saying there are great guys who befriended Peter and reach out to him and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many great dudes they grew up with, and they don't even tell me. Like, they'll take Peter to malls and
that's great.
They'll take him to dinner and stuff, and they write emails back and forth, and they'll talk on the phone, and it's awesome. And so he's become better friends with one of my good high school buddies, who my good high school buddy's married. He's got like a 2-year-old kid, and then Peter goes, yesterday I'm talking to Peter, and he goes, the guy I'm talking about, I'm not going to name him, was like, hey, he's got a girlfriend. He's got a new girlfriend.
Wow.
I go, what? Excuse me? And he goes, yeah, girlfriend. And I go, oh, but he's married, Peter. And he goes, nope. They got a divorce. And I was like, what? I was like, when? And he goes, I think October 2017. And I was like, that's 2 months ago. I was like, Peter, you got to tell me this kind of
stuff. He's more in the loop than you are.
Yeah. He got a freaking divorce. I learned through Peter, and one of my better buds from high school got a divorce.
He knows what he needs.
And then I...
Go ahead.
No, so I text my our mutual friend, who's also... So he's friends with the guy who got a divorce, and he's also friends with Peter. And he gets, like, does email correspondence with Peter and phone correspondence with Peter. And I go, hey, dude, so, Andrew, is this true? Did this really happen? And is Peter just not understanding, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, yep, I found out through Peter, too. And messaged the friend in question here, and it corroborated, and it is true and all this. And I told Peter that maybe our friend wouldn't want him telling everybody. Maybe he wanted to wait to tell everybody himself bad news.
That's funny.
And Peter goes, okay, sure, no problem, I understand. And then...
Tells you.
And then, 10 minutes later, emails my buddy Andrew's wife, did you hear about, that so-and-so is getting a divorce? So my buddy goes, you might want to not tell everybody, it's private. Peter goes, sure, no problem. 10 minutes later.
Puts it on his Facebook.
Emails like his wife.
Oh, wow.
So that's what happened. He's figuring it out. But I have more big news to talk about with Peter. That just happened this week, but I am going to save it for the beginning of the topic du jour and in news.
Yeah, it'll
fit right in there. So let's throw it to you. You had a very big week in review.
I had a tough week. It was a good week. It was JJ's birthday. And as longtime listeners know, he's in Sweden still.
Mm-hmm.
And
living in Sweden.
I, I've made some inquiries into some options over here, but he's got a few health things, and I just think, a lot of these things are tough decisions. But I think for right now, he's best right where he's at. I think he's in a good place, and he's happy. He's very happy. He was a little mad at me today during our call. We do a daily little FaceTime call, but I think he's mad that I left again. But it was his birthday. And he was very excited. We did a little party I wanted to do a party for him because he's all alone. That's why it's so bittersweet. He's all alone. This is his first birthday without his mom. His mom passed, obviously. So I'm very cognizant of that he's all alone. And then his sister wasn't there. Mm-hmm. None of my family was there. None of his mom's family was there. So I just felt very, I don't know. Shoot. Just your heart goes out to the little guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you did the right thing.
So I went over there. Anyway, we put together a little party. So I go to school and I go, I'd like to do a little party for him. You know, him and his couple of his little friends. And they're like, okay, well, there's 12 kids in his class. And I said, oh, okay, that's okay. I'll bring, you know, cake and ice cream for 12 kids. Oh, and there's 15 staff. So like, oh, okay, I'll bring cake and ice cream for 30 people. So we had this, we had a little party, and I got him the stuff. I got cake and ice cream, but I got stuff I knew he would like too. He likes this like Christmas bread. It's got raisins in it and saffron and cloves.
Oh, wow.
And cookies. And then, you know, everybody else had the cake. But I was like, if I get this, he's not going to eat the cake. He's going to want either cookies or... So it was good. We had a little birthday. Got him a new computer because he broke his last one again. Got some headphones. All those pictures are on my Instagram. If you want to see those pictures of my little man doing good. Yeah, but it was bittersweet just because he was without his mom. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
That's a very tough one, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it was. I think it was good. I think I did the right thing to... wanted to make sure he wasn't there by himself. So for Christmas.
And did he have fun?
He had a great time. He had a great time.
Well, great. You did it then.
He covered his ears when he was saying happy birthday, like he always does. And,
does that mean he's happy or cause it's too loud?
It's too loud, but, it was fun. And it was also cool. It sounds corny, kind of silly, but, it was also cool to, have all the other little kids in his classroom. Most, I think half of them are autistic, I would guess, roughly. And then there's a kid with Down syndrome, and there's a kid. So they were excited too. You know, it's cake and ice cream at 10 in the morning. So,
oh yeah, everyone's gonna be off the walls. It's gonna be great. That's awesome. Well, good. I'm glad you did that. You have fun?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good trip. And then I was in Bucharest. I had that one nighter in Bucharest. Boy, it sounds like such a comedian thing to say.
Yeah, well, you got to pay for that trip somehow.
That's the thing. So those little shows pay for the trip. So that's it. It was good. It was a good week. And week for that. Yeah, it was a good week. Should we do in the news? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. So I'll set it up.
Sure.
So basically, the big news that happened with my brother today is that he... listeners know that he has a new job where he's a janitor, and he was for 8 years he was working at a restaurant making fries, and before that he was a janitor there, but he got sort of demoted to the fry maker because he caused a lot of plumbing issues when he was the janitor. He'd flush down like almost full toilet paper rolls down the toilet because he likes everything to be 100% full.
Right.
And toilet paper goes in the toilet in his brain, even though it's not used. And it was a big issue. And then anyway, so, but he wasn't making a lot of money being the fry person. And it like took, you know, he was going for like an hour a day, four times a week. You don't have to take an hour. Anyway, so he got a new job as a janitor at an office building, and it was 5 days a week. It was almost regular hours. He was making way more money. He was almost self-sufficient. It was crazy. And then yesterday he was let go. We knew it was coming a couple days in advance. We hadn't told him, and we just wanted to make sure we frame it properly. We're all on the same script in terms of my parents and his job coach. So you know, basically what was happening is that he was and I think I'd mentioned it before on this podcast that he was had a few complaints because he was chit-chatting too much with people and they couldn't get work done. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I understand if you're volunteering and it's your job, or even if you're making fries,
right,
or
right.
You're in a restaurant and it's only 1 hour 4 days a week, you can handle it, but right. All day, every day, and you're trying to work, and this guy's talking about 20 years ago in high school, complaining about people that wronged him every single day,
right.
The same thing, and, you know, it's like, I guess enough people complained, and, you know, they tried, and I don't even, I mean, on the surface, you know, I was like, my knee-jerk reaction is like, screw these people. They can't just spend extra time. What a joke, you know, and make sure, cause he can follow anything. If he can follow a list, and he was screwing stuff up also when the job coach wasn't there. Like, he would do it well when the job coach was there, but not when he was gone. And
yep.
I guess, which was surprising to me actually, but also I think he can't help himself, you know, but talking to people. But it was sad. It was sad that he lost that job. Now he doesn't have a job, but I talk personally. I know the job coach. Coincidentally, the job coach is a comedian in Ottawa that I know.
How big is Ottawa? Is like seven people there?
There's a million.
I know. I can't believe you know him, and he's a comic.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I talked to him. He's like, you know, Peter's great. I honestly think he's too good for that job, and we're going to find him something better in the new year. This isn't a bad thing, Peter. And I'm like, thank you so much. He's like, don't thank me. Peter's honestly awesome. It's a pleasure. Blah, blah, blah. He's like the best. The guy's the best. His name's great. Alistair McAllister. Great guy. So my mom was disappointed. My parents are disappointed, but you know, we're trying to remain positive as well. And, and he'll find something. They just, you know, they're 70. My parents are going to be 70. They want to make sure that he's on some sort of self-sufficiency soon.
No, I get it.
Peter's 33. So it's, I honestly think it might be a good thing. I think Alistair might be right. A good thing in the long run. But I do wish people had more patience with my brother. I really do. I think if you knew how to talk to him, and if you knew that it takes, instead of 10 times, it takes 30 times to tell him, and then he gets it. But he does get it, you know. And a regular person would need one or two, you know. So yeah. I think that sort of bleeds into the article, the news, because it deals with people's expectations of what an autism person is being skewed by the inaccurate depictions of genius autistic people in anything that where they, you know, in any sort of media, especially the good doctor and all this other.
Yeah, this is
which is fine. It's fine. It's just.
This is an article in Forbes. The title is How Hollywood's Autism Fantasies Undermine Autism Employment. And basically, this is it talks about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David, who created the Seinfeld series, his show Curb Your Enthusiasm, in the ninth season, I think it's episode 8, he pretends to be on the autism spectrum, basically to win sympathy from an African-American mechanic who he's insulted. And the way he insulted him was because he did this whole thing of like, oh, I didn't realize you were black. And he's like, why should I have to mention that? Oh, I couldn't tell on the phone. And then they draw a parallel between later on when he basically tells him, oh, I'm on the spectrum. And then the mechanic is super apologetic. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. Your car will be ready tomorrow. And before he had told him, oh, it's going to be 3 weeks, because Larry didn't kind of insulted him. And so basically it talks about how there's more honesty and humor in this one scene than in all the fantasy that Hollywood continues to put out on autism this fall, including through such high-profile shows as The Good Doctor and Atypical, and here's why we should take notice. Basically, this is a five-page article, but it talks about how the last past decade, the autism depictions of popular culture have exploded. But they often reference people who are basically savants. And so it sets an expectation for people who are hiring that this person is going to be a genius and just a quirky savant, and he's brilliant, and he just needs some help with social communication, which is like, for example, the one is the guy's a doctor. He's an actual doctor. So it's like, okay, that's a valid, unique experience. However, that's not my son's experience, who doesn't speak at all.
Right.
My son is not a doctor. So I was watching the Larry David show, Curb Your Enthusiasm show, I think it was last night or two nights ago, and I was watching hopefully because I love Larry David. I think he's
sure they wouldn't let you down.
Yeah, he's so great. He's so funny, and but you know you're hopeful that it's not going to be. The thing is, he makes fun of everything, right? He makes fun of the Holocaust. He makes fun of absolutely nothing's off limits. So I knew when it came up, I'm like, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be a little dicey. So
well, his thing is realism and honesty, whether you're insulted or not. The thing is to be honest.
Right. And so he's dating a girl, a lady who has a son with on the spectrum. And the basic premise of that part is he's like, is this kid on the spectrum or is he just kind of a jerk? And I used to do a bit where I used to talk about my son's kind of behavior problems. And it was like, just because my son's autistic doesn't mean he also can't be a jerk, except for he's a stronger word. But like, it's two different things, right? He can be on the spectrum and he could also be having some behavior problems. So it's like he doesn't get a pass completely because he's on a spectrum. Just let him do whatever he wants. So it was, I thought that part of the show I thought was handled really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was good. I thought it was good. You know, it's Larry David, and it's like so definitely don't.
You're
watch
a comedian, so you're biased.
Super biased.
But you also love your son more than comedy, so you'd be pissed off if he was making fun of it, making fun of some of autism. He is like, you know what, he's one thing that he's bringing to light in that episode is that people are starting to use in the spectrum all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's become the new, I'm gluten intolerant.
Right.
You know, it's like, how do you know you're gluten intolerant? Has anyone diagnosed you?
Yeah. He says that he's like, is this kid diagnosed? And the mom's like, I can tell. So it was clever. It was very clever. And
yeah.
There was a guest role. I think he had one line, but Ron Funches was on that episode. Ron Funches, longtime listeners know, we interviewed. He was on. He has a son with autism, and he was on Undateable.
He is an NBC sitcom. He's been on a bunch of stuff, other stuff. He's like in the comedy scene. He is popular and sort of famous. He's probably the most famous person we've had on the podcast.
Yes.
And
one of the least listened to episodes.
Least listened to episodes by far. I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
Yeah.
But I thought it was. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. If you guys
Ron Funches has a son with autism.
Yes. Yes, he does. And I
by
wonder.
The way, so Ron Funches is a good person to have on that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I'm sure. I was thinking about that. I'm like, I'm sure they ran the script by him or something. I'm sure it's like, it's not a coincidence. He's been on one episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm and it deals with autism and he has a son with autism. So, but I'm curious to hear your guys' opinion. If you have HBO and you want to check that out, or if you're going to stream it on a BitTorrent or however that works, I'm not from the future. I don't know, but,
Or the recent past. You're from the distant past.
Distant past. We're men.
Kirk and I are both. It's amazing that we have a technological based media entity because this podcast. Because we both are Luddites. We are both two people who would have been better suited to be comedians in the 80s, where you just had a house phone and waited for it to ring.
I would.
You'd call your agent.
I'd be retired by now. I would have a holding deal. I'd be done.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I think that's it. What do you think, Graham? Anything else you want to add to this one?
I think we did it.
I think we did it, guys. Guys, I know we talk about this every week, but we appreciate your support on Patreon.com. You know how to spell it, but if you take a dollar to support us, we appreciate it. And I'll tell you why. That money goes towards funding the hosting of this website, the technical things revolving around it. Let's be perfectly honest. We're not getting rich off that. But that money goes to make this podcast happen, and we appreciate your support. If you want to see pictures of me and JJ at his birthday, I am a Kirk Smith Comedian on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Graham, tell us about your where they can see you in upcoming shows, etc.
Oh, I am... You can find me at comedybythegram.com for all my show dates. Started a new podcast. If you like sports,
yes,
it's called Friends and Sports, and it is on iTunes. And if you are an Android user, it is on SoundCloud. So yeah, Friends and Sports with myself and funny comedian Alex Pavone. And that's it. I'm going to be headlining the Ottawa Yuck Yucks over the weekend right before Christmas. So I think it's like
that's great.
22nd, 3rd, and 4th, maybe, or something like that. And that's that.
All right, and, guys.
So it's going to be awesome.
That's great. I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off. Sorry about that.
I'm impressed that we don't screw up more often because I'm on the phone. We're not in the same room.
It is hard on the phone.
That is a classic example of having no body language to read off of, where we just sort of both end.
I was just going to say,
right there.
I'm going to be on tour in Arizona doing a stream of casinos. You can follow up on my, again, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. I'll be posting those dates. And come on, if you want to come see a live show. We love you guys. You can do it. Have a great week.
Yes, you can. Thanks. Bye.